I'm almost afraid to ask because of how excited you are, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You feel good tonight? Are you excited about what the Lord has in store? Oh, glory to God. We'll go ahead and get started with the word tonight. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how the ground's supposed to be broke. It's that simple. Simply yielding to Him and letting Him have His perfect way tonight. We are so thankful for all of you being here. What a wonderful opportunity to be in His presence. The rain tried to keep people from getting here, but God opened the sunshine just in time. If you have your Bible and you want to follow along with us, we're going to begin in the third Psalm, verse 1. We're going to go through to the end of the chapter. Lord, how are they increased that troubled me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, are a, say this with me tonight, shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept, and I awakened. For the Lord, say this word with me, sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. And say this word with me at verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Let's start back up at the first three verses tonight. And let's try to dig deep in here and really extract what the Holy Spirit has inspired for us. If you read about what this chapter surrounds, you'll find that it connects with the rebellion of Absalom. Absalom was one of David's family. And as you know, when you're in a kingship and kinship, if you're in a place of high favor, it's very important to always listen to what God wants you to do. But as we know, even though David was a mighty man of valor, mighty man of strength, his heart was after God, but he made mistakes. And out of our mistakes, sometimes we have to learn by the effectual tests that were given. So we find that in the midst of this rebellion where he is sort of sent out from his normal dwelling place, his kingdom, his kinship, everything that he had grown accustomed to having just handed to him from his place of position had been taken. So we find that he is calling out in a season where he is afraid. So we read these words, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Makes a lot more sense when we think about the context, right? Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, and I want to bring emphasis to this, O Lord, are a shield for me. Let me read this other scripture to you tonight. Ephesians 6 and 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, say all, the fiery darts of the wicked. So number one, we find that through his fears, through his trembling and calling out to God, that he has identified himself as a target. And if you're a child of God, you are now on the devil's radar. From the very first moment that people are saved, you will find and testify, even in your own life, that there were a lot of things that try and come to dissuade you out of what you have called out for and received. Amen? And as you grow in God, there'll be things that begin to happen that challenge your faithfulness to appear in his assembly, to be obedient even when you begin to be afflicted, and even when you mess up, you go through that season of grace where God is looking over, blessing you, and taking care of you, right? So we find that as he's calling out in this time of trouble, he has been identified by the enemy as a target. And I don't know if you see yourself in his position, but I do. I see myself every day surrounded by conversations of people that do not lift up Jesus. I'm surrounded by people that say they know the Lord, yet you hear not the Lord's name from their lips. We come and assemble together, and sometimes even in our best efforts, our flesh cannot prevail. And we go out disappointed and let down. But whether we get in and succeed, or whether we get in and fail, the devil still has his mark upon you. He comes as a roaring lion to seek whom he may devour. That means that today we must write it down in our heart and accept the fact that we're now on his radar. Look over at somebody and say, the devil sees what you're doing. And if you do anything in the name of Christ, you're going to feel the press. If you stand up and give him praise like you have tonight, I'm going to go ahead and give you a reality for tomorrow. You're going to be challenged in some way. But I find when he calls out, he didn't just give up on saying that he was in trouble. But he drew the line to the trouble. And he said, but Lord, thou art a shield. So that's the first point I want to bring out tonight, because some of us may feel like we're alone in the time of trouble, but I want you to know that you're never without a shield. You're never without a shield. He is our protection. Now, we may not have 10,000 people trying to hunt us down and destroy us, but we have a lot of things that try to attack us. And to beat it all, of course, this drama was happening in the family. You might not want to say amen to this, because you might tell on yourself or your family, but how many of you are bold enough to acknowledge that most of the drama you deal with happens in your own home? Oh, we weren't too honest there, but it's all right. I'm coming for you here in a minute. Oh, Lord. We're almost there, aren't we, Brother Matt? So it's happening in his own family. Can't understand why everything's turning against him. But he still remembers and acknowledges that he has a shield. And as we have been raised up in the commandment of Christ, we know that our shield is what? Our faith. As we are faithful to trust in him, and I can't get this across enough, that is what quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. I wish I could say that the next dance I'm going to do for the next 5 seconds causes the darts not to hit me. But my dance does not cause the darts to be quenched. Faith is what makes your shield worth something. If you have faith every now and again, then you'll be all right every now and then. But when it comes time for something to really hit you, you're not going to have the protection to cover yourself. You see, a shield, unlike armor, has the ability to move freely as you choose to direct it where you are going. That means no matter where you go in life, that you have a shield to direct it when you are presently faced with something that is different than you have seen before. So when people bother me in my conversation, they try to throw things at me to get to me. If you don't throw your shield up, it's too late. If the doctor tells you that you're not going to have much hope, and you don't throw up faith to try to combat that before it turns to doubt, you're already losing the battle. I'm talking to somebody right now. If we don't learn to stop looking at the bills and thinking we're never getting it paid off before we raise the shield of faith and saying, Lord, my storehouse isn't the only one that I'm holding to. That storehouse is not the only one that I'm looking at. Even when the barrel was empty, God caused it to never run dry. So that tells me, even when I'm looking at debt, if I put up the shield, then I know that I have a protector that watches over everything that is in my life. You might not think that you can quench the fiery darts, but if you have faith, you can do it. My God, if you have faith, you can cause it to not be of an effect to you. And that's probably new for some of you. That doesn't mean you won't go through anything, but it means whatever comes to challenge your faith, you don't allow it. So let's ask tonight, how do we protect our faith? How do we protect it? Number one, rebuking. Some of you think, oh, rebuking's only for the people laying on of hands and really feeling the power of God. But there's been some times where I had nothing shaking me, stirring me, dancing me, shouting me. But I was in the middle of something that I couldn't even speak my mind. But inside of myself, I said, devil, I rebuke you. I rebuke you and your attempts to steal my joy. Oh, Lord. Devil, I rebuke you for trying to steal away the members of this assembly. There's been times that I have dismissed his ability to even have a seat in my mind. To rebuke, let me put it like this, is another way of like dismissing. So when we're ready to go, we finally got tired of being at the house of God, and we finally endured to the end, we what? Dismiss. We say a prayer and we go our separate ways. But think about it in that illustration. If you will use that prayer of dismissal, not just to leave somewhere, but to dismiss the interruptions or afflictions that are trying to get inside of your temple. I try to remind people all the time, your temple isn't in this building, it's inside of you. That temple where the Holy Ghost dwells just isn't in this church. It's wonderful that you can drive and make it here, but that's not where the temple is. The temple was created inside of you. And if you don't learn to rebuke that stuff and dismiss it, you're leaving the door open for the devil. And I'm telling you, if somebody's desperate enough to prosper themselves, they'll take from you. Oh, yeah. You leave the door open with your valuables sitting right in the other side. If it's within view, some people will lose their nerve and come after it. They don't care who it hurts. They don't care what they say to bother you. But if they can get what good that you have fought for in your life to prosper themselves, they'll do it. Because let me tell you, the devil doesn't care what you fought for and earned for. He doesn't care everything that you have built up by faith. And if we leave an open door by not dismissing, rebuking, and sending away when he speaks negatively to us, then we might as well just be saying, here, take my free stuff, take my happiness, take my joy, the door's wide open, I want you to have it. But God sent me tonight to tell some of you that it's time that we stop letting the fiery darts hit us everywhere that we stand. You don't stand in a swarm of bees and let them sting you. You start trying to fight against that, right? And God wants you to get to the place where the fiery darts have no harm. If you've ever disturbed a bee's nest like I have in times past, in your ignorance, you don't realize what you're about to do. It might look cool when you make contact and break it open, but oh, when the swarm comes, what are you gonna do? Some of you might just stand there, panic and fear, and just let yourself get stung to death. But I've found that if you want the ultimate escape from bees, you find a body of water. Oh, Lord. How many of you know where we're going with this? When the swarm is all around you and you don't know where to go or what to do, there's sometimes that nothing that you can even try to read and find in the Word will satisfy you. But the only way you're going to find the escape is to get down in the water. Oh, Lord, he said out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. And if there's water deep down inside of me, then that tells me that I've got to get down deep to where it is. I might lose myself. I might lose everything. But if I can get under where the swarm would get me, I have found my escape. Oh, I heard in the Word of God one day where it said that we had a place in the cleft of the rock. I heard in the Word one day that we have a place underneath his wing. So that tells me that I've got a place down deep in the water. So if you're not going to let the Spirit move in you, then the swarm's going to overtake you. Thou art my hiding place, Lord. If I go to heaven, you're with me. If I have to make my bed, nobody wants to make their bed in hell. That's not what he was saying. But he was saying, if I get to that place, I know that you're there. Sometimes the attacks that prevail on us are the ones we allow. If every one of us dispelled the fear of what people thought about us, I'm going to tell you what happened. We'd praise him so much that we'd break the foundation that we're standing on. We'd praise him so loud, we would outdo the PA and just have to turn it off. We'd get to the place where there wouldn't be any demon that would even cross our path before it would begin to tremble and be afraid about the voice of God that's inside of you. But here's the deal. You know, we've been preaching on challenges of our faith, right? Here's your third challenge of your faith. It's fear. Uncertainty, hopelessness, a lack of vision to see what God can do. Fear. And we're going to go ahead and just confess our faults together. How many of you have been afraid of a situation before? I don't want to give examples, but maybe you've had a loved one that was sick and you didn't know if they were going to pull through. Or maybe you've had debts bigger than what your wallet could pay for and you didn't know if you were going to get it done. But let me ask you, some of you seasoned Christians, how many of you have been afraid but God has proven himself? Let somebody see your hand up in here. Wave it and wave it proudly. Let somebody say, hey, I've been afraid before, but I've been brought through it. So we know that he is faithful. But in order to stay connected to his faithfulness, we must be faithful. We're wiring in the sound system underneath in the new church. We're excited. God's already supplied what we're going to need to be able to move over there pretty quick. But until we establish all the connections in every wire, you could get one of these corded microphones and sing all that you want to. But if it's not hooked up to the master source, you ain't making a sound. I like to look at faithfulness as like a connection. If God is ever faithful, then the only time that the connection is broken to my situation is when I lack in faith. As I am fearful over a thing, just imagine this illustration with me. Somebody just go ahead and try to cut the cord right there. As when I'm afraid of something, I know that he's able, but I'm not connecting to the source that keeps me satisfied. So as we are discontent over time when we don't see something, and I'm going to ask for a witness in here, as we go over time and we're not connected with him continually, then what should normally bless us does not. Singing that should cause you to be able to fly up to heaven does not. Sermons that have been studied and eloquently presented to you have no meaning, but yet you still know that God is able. Oh, I feel like I'm really digging in right now. God is able, and we know he's there, but there's something that we must do to maintain the connection, and that's continuing to be faithful as he is faithful.